Welcome back for the last 25 minutes of Issues Etc. Just a reminder to our listeners, don't be alarmed if at the bottom of the hour all you hear is static. We do broadcast until the sun goes down in Denver, Colorado, and that means that as December is upon us, we're signing off at 5:30. We're broadcasting live from Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. 25 minutes left in today's Issues Etc. We're going to be talking about the suspension of four Walgreens pharmacists in Illinois for refusing to sign a document provided by their employer saying that they would fill prescriptions for the morning after pill. We're going to talk about the morning after pill, and we're going to talk with one of those suspended pharmacists. He's been kind enough to come over here to Bethany Lutheran Church and join us for this live broadcast. You can join us as well, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. On December 10th at the Kenrick Sene on Watson Road in St. Louis, AM 850 KFUO is going to be hosting a private screening for our listeners of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, this movie based upon the much-beloved C.S. Lewis novel. That's December 10th at 10 a.m. at the Kenrick Cine on Watson Road in St. Louis. Now, if you'd like to join us, I certainly hope to see you there. I'm going to be there speaking a little bit before the movie and, as time permits, after the movie on C.S. Lewis, on the movie and its theology. The number you can call, 725-3030, ask for Sally or Jenny, and they'll both be able to provide you with tickets. Tickets are $7.50 apiece, does not include concessions. 725-3030 or 1-800-844-0524, 1-800-844-0524. Call tomorrow during business hours. Seating is limited, so don't wait to call 725-3030 and reserve your place at The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, a special private listeners screening for our listeners here at AM 850 KFUO. The other number, 1-800-844-0524. John Menges is one of the suspended pharmacists in the story that we talked about yesterday with State Rep. Ron Stevens. Four pharmacists, Walgreens pharmacists, suspended in Illinois for refusing to provide the morning after pill. John, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me.
John, tell us your story. When did this begin, and how did you get to the point of being, at least as far as I can tell right now, an unemployed pharmacist having worked for Walgreens?
This issue probably began in 1998, 1999, when these medications came over the counter. I mean, not over the counter, when they became available to pharmacists to dispense. And the first time it came up with me was when I was working as a pharmacy manager in Edwardsville, Illinois. And I asked my partner if he could dispense them because I couldn't dispense them. And he said he couldn't dispense them because he was Catholic, and I said I couldn't dispense them either because I was Catholic. So we chose not to put the drug on our shelf, and if women came up, we would freely talk to them because we want them to hear all issues with this medication because it was brought out that everyone says it's an oral contraceptive, and it's not really an oral contraceptive. It's designed to end a pregnancy. Depending on where you define pregnancy. 1965, ACOG redefined pregnancy to begin at implantation, where embryologists worldwide will agree that pregnancy begins at conception, which is before implantation. So that's why this drug works. It has 72 hours to work, and it can actually stop what they call a pregnancy, depending on what definition you use.
So how did you come to be suspended? I mean, how did it come that you lost your job with Walgreens?
With the real issue with Walgreens just recently came up. I guess the issue came up earlier this year, April 1st, when the governor brought out his emergency bill requiring pharmacists to dispense it. And myself and another pharmacist, Peggy Pace, decided we needed to do something because we knew we couldn't dispense it. And if we had to dispense it, this would be the reason why I would have to leave pharmacy. So we immediately got on the phone, called Ron Stevens, Frank Watson, and representatives and stuff, trying to get our word out. And several other pharmacists that I know of did the same thing. We contacted the ACLJ, and the ACLJ, Frank Mannion, was willing to represent us. And we brought a lawsuit against the governor for bringing this, because what we wanted was clarification as to what the governor wanted. It said pharmacy, said nothing about pharmacists, and we wanted to know what the governor was asking of us, because we knew that a pharmacy isn't a pharmacy without a pharmacist. So
technically speaking, the April 1st statement from Illinois Governor Blagojevich is pharmacies have to carry it and dispense it if asked.
That is correct.
As far as you can tell, how was that finally resolved that now pharmacists have to dispense it when asked?
Well, I think what Walgreens has done now, this is the first interpretation that the pharmacists themselves have to dispense it, because the governor's office has been telling us all along that no, it doesn't pertain to individual pharmacists. As we brought our suit forth, we could get nowhere in the courts. The courts wouldn't listen to us. So here we are.
So how would you, if in the best of all possible worlds, what is the solution to the problem? Let's say for the sake of argument, the governor's emergency order stands. What's the best of all possible solutions here?
Well, I think somebody needs to come up with a solution. And being optimistic, the first thing I did was say, maybe the governor hasn't done a bad thing. Maybe the governor brought light on an issue that needs to be brought out, that employers need to decide how they are going to handle this, because there are a lot of pharmacists out there that have religious beliefs that prevent them from dispensing this. And this issue came up previous to this many times for many pharmacists. And prior to this, none of us worried about it. We have the right to conscience in Illinois, and we weren't threatened by it. But it's a legal drug. Myself, I would say unfortunately, but for many, it's a legal drug, and it's their choice to use it. So it's an employer. Employer needs to decide how they're going to take care of these patients and still respect pharmacists like myself who have religious beliefs otherwise.
Walk us through, in layman's terms, what the morning after pill is. It's often called emergency contraception, but what it is and what it does and why that is of concern to your conscience.
The morning after pill is a progesterone-only hormone. It's designed to, they'll say in the literature, end a pregnancy by preventing implantation. They'll say ovulation and implantation, but ovulation probably cannot occur. This probably cannot prevent ovulation from occurring because it doesn't have time. The way that the mechanism of action of this drug that actually works would be to prevent implantation. And to prevent implantation, the lining of the uterus makes it unavailable for the fertilized egg, the embryo, to then attach and for life to continue. Life has already begun, as we all know, at conception, but this will stop that because implantation won't be able to occur.
So it is an abortifacient.
That's what many of us believe it is, and that's what I believe it is. But the FDA didn't put that in the labeling, and it's classified as an oral contraceptive.
Is part of the problem with this drug is that it's marketed and designed to be taken after sexual contact, as opposed to, say, genuine contraceptions, which may be taken all month long and really do prevent ovulation or really do regulate the time of ovulation or something like that?
That's the issue that the pharmacists who won't dispense this drug have issue with, is the fact that it does end a pregnancy. Embryologists worldwide agree that life begins at conception, and with life beginning at conception, they can change the definition all they want, but implantation, life has already begun, and that's what this drug stops.
Folks, our call-in numbers are 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. You saw his picture in the paper yesterday in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. John Menges, he'll be our guest for the next 10 minutes. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you have a question or comment for him as we talk about the suspension of four Walgreens pharmacists in Illinois for refusing to provide the morning after pill, or you can make your comments. Maybe you simply want to offer a word of encouragement to John. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Do you know the other pharmacists who were suspended from Walgreens?
Yes, I do.
And is it for each and every one of them a matter of conscience?
Yes, it is.
We talked yesterday with Ron Stevens. He mentioned some document that you were asked to sign that came in-house from Walgreens.
We were asked to sign a document that says we will dispense it. There are other pharmacists out there who object to this. I know of in the area, but because they have families, they've signed it. Whether they're going to dispense it or not, we're not sure. But there were several of us that thought it's important not to sign it and that our paycheck was less important than our religious beliefs. And when my supervisors came around, I told them it felt pretty good knowing that my faith and my religious beliefs meant more to me than a paycheck. And I shook their hands.
Hmm. And just as kind of on a personal note, did they seem to understand that? I mean, did they say, well, here's the door? Or did they seem to understand, as you had mentioned before, the right of conscience that you're exercising?
I don't know if they understood or not. I mean, we've had many discussions since April 1st about this issue, and that several pharmacists, myself, Peggy Pace, who no longer works at Walgreens because she left because of this issue, have brought many suggestions to them, but this was the route Walgreens decided to take.
What is the right of conscience? How does that normally work in your line of work in pharmacy?
If there's a medication, if there's a procedure that a pharmacist, a nurse, anyone in the medical profession can't perform because of their religious beliefs, they don't have to perform that. In medical settings, there's plenty of people who can perform whatever procedure or dispensing that is necessary, and it could be for a nurse, it's a pharmacist, doctor, or whatever. In our situation, it's dispensing and counseling with a pharmacist.
Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's talk with Ruthie. She calls from St. Louis. Hi, Ruthie.
Hi. You know, I'm really outraged by this. And should we write letters to Walgreens? Should we boycott? Is there anything that can be done? I mean, is this corporation ever going to budge on this?
Good questions, Ruthie. What do you say, John? I mean, how would you encourage people who, like Ruthie and many of them are, outraged that people would lose their jobs over a matter of conscience?
I've been encouraging people I know to call Walgreens. They have to come up with a solution real quick. We've been asking for a solution since April 1st, and they need to respect pharmacists of conscience. One thing they want to do with the pharmacist, myself and the other pharmacists, they're saying now that we're not terminated, and they're going to offer us positions in Missouri. But that's not an option. Missouri doesn't even have a right to conscience clause. And they're trying to do this throughout the nation. So if Missouri then falls and pharmacists then have to dispense this medication in Missouri, my question to Walgreens was, what state are they going to move me to then? And then I'll run around the country running from this problem. And it's, growing up as a Christian, I mean, you don't run from your problems. You face them head on. And that's what I've chosen to do. And I hope Walgreens understands that. There's some very good people at Walgreens. When I started this fight, just shortly after April 1st, that Monday after, I believe the Friday, when I started this fight, there were people at Walgreens who were very supportive, very high in the company. And they know this is bad for the company. So hopefully through phone calls and everything else, they're getting the message. But we'll know that in a few days.
Were you willing as a pharmacist to fill prescriptions for birth control pills?
Yes,
and
I did.
If so, what's the difference?
Yes, so I did fill prescriptions for birth control. And my difference in that is because birth control is designed to prevent a pregnancy. It prevents ovulation. It causes a thickening of the mucus. And because it does have a progesterone in there, it can prevent implantation. But there's three mechanisms working there to prevent the pregnancy, ovulation and the thickening of the mucus being the most important two.
How do you respond to someone, and I'm sure you've heard this in the long time you've been fighting this fight, that you know, you're a pharmacist, it's a legal drug, it is something that doctors do prescribe, people do want, and you are trying to force your moral standard on your customers if you're permitted to exercise right of conscience and not fill these prescriptions. How do you respond?
Well, since April 1st, I have not seen a prescription for this that I've had to fill. So it makes you real nervous that you are going to see one, because you don't want to offend somebody. Many people were brought up differently than us and wish they were all brought up like us. We wish they were all brought up in good homes, Christian homes, where they knew the difference, but they aren't. So the most important thing is to treat them like any other Christian, and you have to respect them, even if their beliefs are different. And I think that's what Christians do. So when they come to the counter, they don't know what my position is on it. I talk to them, I answer questions, and I like it when they talk to me to where I can get the story across, so they don't know that it's an oral, so they don't think it's an oral contraceptive. And I don't do that in a judgmental way. I don't let them know my religious beliefs, but I hope maybe they're listening to what I'm saying, and then they're thinking, because many of them believe abortion is wrong, as do I. And if they knew how this drug worked, maybe they wouldn't take the drug. And that's the scary thing, because doctors are not informing the patients. Pharmacists are not informing the patients. And Bar Laboratories, the manufacturer, has not made it clear in its patient literature, and the FDA didn't make it clear how this drug works, because many people still think it's an oral contraceptive. And that was the biggest issue when I started this fight on April 1st. Everyone said that this was an oral contraceptive, and many people accept oral contraceptives, but when it comes to abortion, the country's divided, probably 50-50. And if more people knew how this worked, more people wouldn't use this drug.
You know, I have, as more often than not as a parent, been in a pharmacy picking up something for the kids. And when it's your kid, you are reading the fine print of that stuff. You're reading the contraindications of what not to take and what to look for by way of nasty side effects on any kind of medication, on any kind of medication. Shouldn't a pharmacist be able to say to someone who's taking this medication, do you really know what this does in your body?
I think that's very important for pharmacists to do. We do it every day. Pharmacists do that, and it's very important that we do that on every medication. And the difference with this medication is I can talk to people and counsel them on it, but I just can't. I can't sell it to them. I can't dispense it.
Paul calls from his car. Paul, thank you for waiting, and welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. I appreciate the gentleman's position. I find it regrettable that Walgreens has stated that these four honorable people have jeopardized the pharmacy's license as opposed to the individual license, which I don't believe is correct, despite the Walgreens representative's statement. But also, yesterday, Governor Blagojevich was very animated and expressive to get junk food, you know, potato chips, out of Illinois schools because he was concerned about the health and welfare of the children. Apparently, he does not have the same for the unborn, nor the potential hazards of RU486 in conjunction with Cytotec. I know that about 2 weeks ago, around the time of the bioethics convention in St. Louis, I received a drug alert from California, where they had four women die of septic shock, which meant that not only they died, but perhaps the infants that they were carrying in their womb. I think there's really something wrong with the governor's thinking, and something should be done to put things in balance.
Paul, thank you very much for the call, and we appreciate you. Your thoughts on this, John?
There are a lot of thoughts there. I'm not sure.
Well, let's take it at this. Is it consistent in your mind for the governor to want to watch out for the health of school children? Who doesn't want that? But to say you must prescribe this drug that very clearly, by any scientific standard, ends a human life?
Well, the sad thing is I think a lot of individuals think like that because, like I said, the country is divided 50-50, and we forget that these unborn children are lives, and that's the sad thing in this country. We take a child who's a week old, and that child is very important to everybody. We take a child who's a week away from being born, and that child doesn't mean anything to a lot of people, and that's sad.
John Benjes is one of the suspended pharmacists in this case. You've been reading about it in the paper. Four suspended pharmacists, Walgreens pharmacists in Illinois, suspended for refusing to provide the morning after pill. John, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
Well, LCMS World Relief does care about both body and soul. We like having them as an underwriter of issues, etc., because they're not only concerned by the human life from beginning to end. They have their own Life Institute as well. Human life, all throughout human life, people in genuine need. LCMS World Relief can be found at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Look for the logo of LCMS World Relief, issuesetc.org. I'd like to thank all of our guests today who joined us, Dr. Martin Noland, the four pastors who joined us during our Pastors Roundtable, broadcasting live from Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. I'd really like to thank Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights for both hosting this broadcast but also being a regular church sponsor of Issues, etc. You can find all our church sponsors at our website, issuesetc.org. Thanks to Jeff, our producer, who's here making things happen, and to Gary back in the studio at Studio A. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, etc. Issues, etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM850 KFUO. Issues, etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.